Once upon an office so dreary, Wendy's HR presentation made everyone weary.
Was it a bore?
A snore. Could have used more charm, for sure.
That's it?
Wendy opened Canva, looking ecstatic. She began to work her magic.
Docs, prints, presentations, galore. All in one design. Not dull anymore.
The next day, Wendy wowed the crowd. They clapped loud.
I feel so proud.
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at canva.com.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speedtest. So baseball fans are connected to the Fall Classic from home to home plate with the most advanced 5G, more towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever before. T-Mobile has you covered. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Best mobile network based on analysis by Ookla Speedtest Intelligence data, first half 2025. See details at T-Mobile.com.
All right, about 8 hours and 15 minutes away from kickoff, Ben Standing joins us from Kansas City, where he will be attending tonight's game, working at tonight's game. You can read his Substack column after the game. You can read his preview before the game by going to his X account, at Ben Standing. Also has a podcast called Last Man Standing. So I'll ask you the question that I ask callers for the first hour of the show. Is tonight doable, and if so, how?
Well, I mean, you know, certainly they've got, you know, they're one of two teams that can come away with a win. So, you know, from that perspective, it's doable. You know, obviously weird things happen in the NFL. You know, yesterday was a good example. That was some of the results. But, you know, obviously the odds are really against them. I think ultimately it is, you know, the pretty basic stuff. You cannot, you know, the last 2 weeks they've been -5 in the turnover battle, haven't created one. That, you know, that obviously cannot work in most games, let alone against a team like Kansas City with the firepower they have offensively. And, you know, just in general, I think, you know, the offense with Mariota in there, we know that, you know, the ceiling is not the same as Jaden Daniels, but they can still be effective when it comes to, you know, controlling the clock, moving the chains, getting the running game going again, you know, keep the Chiefs off the field, help their keep their defense off the field. If they can do these things, then that, you know, that shrinks the you know, the Chiefs' advantages and gives them a better opportunity. But there's basically no margin of error when you don't have Daniels. You know, your defensive line, you really are thin, incredibly thin at defensive end. Well, at the moment, we don't even know if Deron Payne's going to play, but put that aside for now. You know, those are the basic things. I mean, you know, they can't have the missed tackles, all the fundamental stuff. You know, beyond that, you know, we can get into what it looks like with Terry McLaurin being out there, or how do they cover, you know, Rashee Rice and Xavier Worthy. But really, it's the fundamental stuff. If they don't do that, I don't think they're going to have much of a chance.
What's the turnover margin for them to win tonight? Plus what?
I mean, you know, plus anything would be good. But, you know, plus two feels like, you know, at least you're, you know, a couple opportunities there. You know, obviously there's a combination of, if you get the turnover, that means you're taking Mahomes off the field, which is great. But then what do you do with that? If you're just punting it back, it's not nothing, but it's not everything either. So they got to, you know, hopefully can take advantage of whatever mistakes they get. I mean, Mahomes, you know, when you have a guy, look, obviously he's, you know, one of the greatest quarterbacks, and, you know, the guy has been defining the last, you know, several years of the NFL. But, you know, he's also willing to make aggressive throws that can lead to turnovers and can make some mistakes. So, you know, again, right, it's not like you can't bank on that, but at least there should be opportunities there. And then the question is this team that's been, you know, really, really poor at creating turnovers can actually get some?
You know, in your Substack column, you referenced something that I actually saw and I haven't mentioned, but I want you to mention it. I reference the DVOA metric, the Aaron Schatz DVOA metric, defense adjusted value over average. It's much more of a comprehensive, you know, view of a team and of a team's three units, offense, defense, special teams, and a lot of the traditional numbers. And he wrote something recently about Washington, who currently, at least going into this last weekend of football, was the number seven ranked team in the NFL per his DVOA ranking. What did he say?
Basically, he said that Washington was the most confounding team to him in his numbers, which, you know, as you said, the DVOA is, and you know, take all the data and sort of simplify it to give you a sense of where teams are at. I don't think anybody would think that Washington is the seventh best team in the league, or even, you know, kind of in that neighborhood. But, you know, that's the thing, and we've talked about this all year, the game against the Giants, the game against the Raiders, and, you know, to some degree, the game against the Chargers, the wins, you know, they were pretty lopsided affairs. And that, you know, without, you know, the metrics aren't aware of necessarily certain aspects of these games that you and I are more, you know, aware of, i.e. like the Raiders and Giants had, you know, four injured offensive lines, same with the Chargers, or maybe the dad is in there somewhere, but you know what I mean? Like, that's like, those things are obvious to us watching it. So yeah, I just think he's just confused by what that number show. And again, it is confusing. And if you're on the outside, you might be like, huh, maybe Washington is getting some bad luck. Okay. Maybe there's some of that, but you know, we've seen the other games, and the other games have been pretty lopsided against them. The final scores haven't always been an indication of that, right? They lost to Green Bay by 9. It certainly felt way worse than that, you know, as an example. So, he just said the numbers in this case probably don't tell the full story.
Yeah, they did drop after yesterday's game to 11th now in the NFL and overall DVOA. All right. Terry and Debo are back, correct?
Yeah, I mean, it looked like that way from the beginning, and they've made it through, though, without any issue. Dan Quinn said on Saturday that they will be out there. Obviously, you know, just even having Debo back would be huge based on what we, you know, saw with him, but just to get them both back, you know, whatever rust Terry may or may not have, at a minimum, the defenses have to respect his presence, which means, you know, fewer jammed boxes for the quarterback in the run game. So all in all, just, you know, just his presence alone makes a big difference, let alone if he's actually going to be, you know, the productive guy we've seen over the years.
And Daron Payne is in jeopardy of not playing?
That's what I was told the other day. I mean, you know, in jeopardy versus questionable may sound different in tone, so they've officially listed him as questionable. But, you know, the toe issue is enough of whatever's going on there is enough of a concern that at least it is somewhat in jeopardy about not playing. But, you know, it's been a couple of days. He's had some time to rest, get more treatment, so on and so on. So we'll see if, you know, where we're at. I've not heard anything since I've been in Kansas City on this. We'll see. You know, they've got obviously time today to do anything. You know, they're going to elevate Sheldon Day off of the practice squad regardless, because they did last week, and, you know, they're just short on bodies. The only other defensive lineman that they have, like, sort of for real, is Ricky Barber, a UDFA. He's another defensive tackle. He comes up, then I think we know something's up with Payne, but we may find out in advance of that.
So when Quinn said the other day, and we are joined, of course, by our Commanders insider, Ben Standing, live from Kansas City. When Quinn said the other day, when John asked him about, okay, it's Thursday now, and you've had several days to kind of dig into what you said you were going to dig into, which is everything's on the table. We're going to look at everything as it relates to the defense. And the first thing he said was, I think what you'll see is improved play. Go ahead and describe what you think he believes is going to happen for us to see improved play.
Well, I mean, I think the conclusion that they've come with is that some guys may be overthinking to whatever is being presented to them, the play call, you know, the adjustments that needed to be made on any given play. And that's causing them to react, which is causing them to move slower and leading to some of the problems. You know, from my perspective, and I think he would never say this, of course, but I imagine on some level that he would feel the same, and that is the odds of them winning tonight are pretty thin. We get that, but pretty small. But they can look better. Like, you know, if Kansas City does what Kansas City does, you know, hey, okay, it is what it is. They just can't make it easier. They can't miss so many tackles. They need to be fundamentally sound in their responsibilities. You know, if they can do those things, even if, you know, Mahomes and Kelce and Rice and Worthy and Pacheco or, you know, whatever else they have going on, you know, it's too much to handle, so be it. But they have to show improvement. Like, that's the thing, like, in their losses this year, it just hasn't felt like they've been particularly close most of the time. That, you know, it's not everybody can win, you know. I mean, the two best teams in the league, whoever you deem them to be, play head-to-head, and the game doesn't end in a tie, and one of them lost. But that's not what we're looking at here. So I think from his perspective, he's just believing that they're going to just be fundamentally better. What that wins loss, we'll see. But if they're not fundamentally better, then it's really going to be hard to have too much optimism in these next two games against Seattle and Detroit. And, you know, from my perspective, these four games, KC, then the two home games, and then Madrid, they got to go at least 2-2 to keep just to stay alive. If they don't, then, you know, we can start probably talking about 2026. So, to me, again, result aside, they just have to look better. Let Kansas City beat them, not give them all the kinds of help that we've seen over the last few weeks.
Yeah, I kind of view it as they really have to be kind of 6-6 heading into December. 5-7 would be difficult because I think they'd have to run the table to have any chance. But if they can get to 6-6 heading into December, which means winning three of the next five, right? Chiefs, Seahawks, Lions, Dolphins, Broncos, with basically every single one of those games at home with the exception of the Madrid game. Then you go into December 6-6 and you have a season that you're playing for. 5-7 in this NFC, and by the way, where the division might be at that point may be too much to ask. You wrote in your Substack column just about the trade deadline conundrum for Washington. The trade deadline, for those of you who don't know, is a week from tomorrow. So Washington will have two games in the books tonight and then Sunday night against Seattle. Seattle coming off a bye week heading into that game. And if you're wondering, I did see an early line. Last week, I guessed, you know, it could potentially be like in the pick'em area. Seattle's an early, looking ahead to Sunday night, not knowing anything about what happens tonight, they are an early 2.5-point favorite. Washington, a home dog against Seattle. But anyway, back to the trade deadline, which would then come 2 days later. What's the conundrum?
Well, I mean, I think the conundrum is, like, where is this team? You know, are they the team that, by some numbers, like DVOA, suggests they're better than the eye test, maybe? Or do you look at it as, boy, they're already, you know, where the record is, and they've got 3-4, and the three games coming up are really daunting. If they lose these games, then maybe it's more realistic to think, hey, we need to start building for the future to an extent, because the whole goal of this is not just any individual season, it's to have a sustained success. And as we've discussed, this is a team that, you know, the regime inherited a lousy roster. They've made some changes, of course, over the last 2 years, but there's still a long way to go. They've got the oldest roster in the league, so maybe it makes sense. And they only have 6 draft picks next year. Only 2 of those 6 are in the top in the first 4 rounds. So how do you improve going forward when you have limited options? And, you know, they have the third fewest players under contract for next year, according to Over the Cap. So they're going to have a lot of holes to fill. Yeah. One way to start addressing that is to acquire more picks. But how do you do that and sort of maintain, you know, you're trying to contend simultaneously? You know, if you think, hey, what's this year's version of the Marshawn Lattimore trade, hopefully a better result, but, you know, something that they could do to improve defensive end, well, what are you trading to get that? You don't, like I just said, they don't have the picks, the assets to really do that. And why would you maybe burn some of those assets for a team that you're kind of not sure is really going to be able to contend no matter what you do? So that's why they're in this sort of weird spot. And, you know, the worst thing to be in sports is always being somewhere stuck in the middle. I'm not necessarily saying that, but that's kind of like, at least for the moment, it kind of feels like where they're at.
Okay. I mean, I'm with you, by the way, but give me some of the names that could bring back something that would make sense.
Oh, sure. I mean, you know, we've talked about Brandon Coleman. I don't have any real sense that they are looking to move him, but like if the, you know, a guy who was a third-round pick a year ago who we've seen can play in this league is now not only benched but inactive, and you're bringing back next year basically four or five starters, and Chris Paul, I would imagine, is easily re-signed if they want. So it's not even like they desperately need him. So if they think they could get something for him, you know, I think that's a guy to keep an eye on. If this thing, if they were to lose these next two games, I mean, you'd have to wonder about Deebo Samuel. He's a free agent at the end of the year. He's obviously been very productive to this point. You would think that, you know, some team out there might, look at him as a guy that could give you some, you know, real instant offense to your attack. But again, you know, what does that do? What would that do for Washington? I think on some level, even if they were to say, fine, we're going to go into sell mode, you also don't want to strip it down on offense so much that you're hurting the quarterback, because, you know, his development is the most important thing. As much as we all act like, to some degree, like he's already, you know, a fully formed quarterback, there's still, you know, progress. There's still development that needs to occur. So you don't want to take away all of his pieces. But, you know, Deron Payne's contract is such that with, and I'm not smart enough on the cap to fully grasp everything, but like his cap number basically for this year is such that it would like really hamper them for this year. And I don't know that the other team is going to, you know, the other team would have to deal with the fact he's under contract for next year. If you're making a trade for him, are they going to give him an extension, et cetera. So I don't think they have too much to move. Maybe some guys on the, you know, they have a lot of one-year deals, but I don't know if there's anybody other than maybe, like I said, Deebo, where you're like, wow, that guy could maybe get you a lot. But, you know, you never know until you're, you know, checking around the league.
Look, for those of you who don't know, Washington right now, according to Spotrac, is that how we pronounce it now, right? Spotrac or Spotrac?
I think he told me Spotrac. It out. Yeah.
Spotrac is how you pronounce it. I mean, I've been using it for years, just didn't know how to pronounce it until I had that guy, Michael Jannetty, on the show starting last year. He's great. But Washington has the fifth most cap space in 2026 and really the least amount of dead cap money. And the reason for that is all of these short-term deals. They've had so many of these short-term deals that's given them the flexibility that they want to have as they are still, you know, trying to figure things out. Although I think they've got a lot more figured out now than they did a year ago. All right, your prediction.
Well, when you just said that,
that was, I mean, you do delay every once in a while before you answer, but that may have been your longest delay. So go ahead.
I mean, the Mr. T.
Got to get to it on radio.
The Mr. T line of, you know, just when, you know, what you're predicting, just saying pain. I mean, you know, that's what kind of comes to mind. I think for Washington right now, the other team needs to help Washington a lot. Kansas City looks like they've been on a roll lately, you know, with Mahomes getting, you know, his receivers back. The defense is a top five ranked defense. You know, this is the definition of a hard matchup, but they're going to need Kansas City to do what NFL teams do and stub their toe sometimes. I mean, the Chiefs lost to the Jaguars a couple of weeks ago, so it's not like it's, you know, crazy that something could happen, but it doesn't feel like it. They're 4-1 in the last five. Washington is, 1-3 in their last four. As we discussed before, from the Commanders' perspective, they just cannot make mistakes. Easier said than done, I get it, but you can't lose the turnover battle. You can't give up chunk plays because of missed tackles, et cetera, et cetera. So, you know, I do think that having McLaurin and Samuel back is going to open up things for the run game. And we know Mariota can use his legs as well, but enough to keep the Chiefs, to stay with the Chiefs, I don't think so. I don't know if this game is in your smell test. I didn't notice, but
it is
12.5. 12.5 feels like a lot, but at the same time,
down to 11 in most places, even some 10.5s out there.
Okay. Well, either way, if you tell me it's, you know, 34-21 Washington or Kansas City wins, that's not going to surprise me.
Thank you. Talk to you later.
Yeah, man. See ya.
Ben Standing, everybody. When we come back, you'll hear Jay Gruden talk about the state of our team and kind of give you an idea of how they would pull it off tonight. That's next.
Mint is still $15 a month for premium wireless. And if you haven't made the switch yet, here are 15 reasons why you should. One, it's $15 a month. Two, seriously, it's $15 a month. Three, no big contracts. Four, I use it. Five, my mom uses it. Are you playing me off? That's what's happening, right? Okay, give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Once upon a dismal day, Bob's ice cream van looked gloomy and gray. Although he had big ambitions, his socials lacked creative vision.
That bad?
Maybe vamp it up a tad?
I have an idea.
Bob launched Canva and got into gear.
Create the video in the vampire theme and make it the funniest meme.
It went viral. Bob's business, a revival. Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at canva.com.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
The former head coach of the Washington Redskins, Jay Gruden, joins me every Friday on my podcast. And because we've got a Monday night game, we can kind of play his preview. Looking back at the Dallas game, he's got a ton of thoughts on where they are defensively, offensively, and then some thoughts on tonight's game as well. But we started with the defense.
Problem is, right now, other than Bobby Wagner's experience, and his ability to play between the tackles, they really don't have anything that's a strength. They can't rely on a four-man pass rush. They can't rely on their pass coverage. They can't rely on really anything right now because they're not very talented at any position. Lattimore's giving up big plays and getting penalties. The rookie Amos is coming along okay. But the biggest concern for me is the ability to pressure the quarterback and create turnovers by doing that, and they just don't have the people to do it. You know, Jacob Martin had a couple hits. You know, Von Miller's a little bit older. You know, you're hoping Payne can do something on the inside, but it's just not coming together for them, and they're not putting themselves in good situations to rush the passer because, you know, they're giving up some hits in the running game as well. So they're not stopping run very good. They're not rushing the passer very good, and their coverage isn't very good right now. So I don't know. They got to figure something out and try to do some different things on the back end, maybe blitz a little bit more with Lugu and Bobby Wagner, try to create some pressure on the quarterback and force some errant throws. But like I said, there's just not a lot that they can hang their hat on. Okay, we're really good at this. Let's feature this and sprinkle some other things in. I just don't know what they're really good at.
So I want to come back to that in a moment, but specific to a couple of players, what's happened to Sanristil this year? Last year on the outside primarily, played exceptionally well as a rookie. This year, you know, along with Lattimore, it seems like teams are just going after him. Why?
You know, I don't know. He's not a very big guy, but he wasn't very big last year, and he had a great year last year, I thought, when he had to move to the outside. And you know, bouncing around positions might have an effect on him. You know, it's kind of like you know, we had Kendall Fuller. We moved on the inside. He played pretty good. Then we moved back outside. He got traded. He's outside. And he just kind of never really found a home. You know, sometimes it's not easy just to, okay, go play nickel today. No, you go play outside today. You go cover this guy here today. You know, it's sometimes they just need a constant place to really feel secure in what they're doing defensively. Maybe just a lot of moving around, a lot of stuff has affected him a little bit. But I don't think he's really been the problem too much. He's got targeted a little bit more than he did last year. But I think the whole team has got some issues. They all have a bullseye on their front right now.
I've asked you this a couple of times, I think, already this year. And look, the injuries, they've lost, you know, their top two starting defensive ends, you know, Wise and then Armstrong, a devastating loss after last week. They lost John Baptiste, who was the backup defensive end. They've had injuries on that side of the ball as much as the offense has had injuries on its side of the ball. But you are a coach. You're an offensive coach, but you were a head coach. How much of this, for people like me, is coaching and scheme versus personnel?
Well, I think it's a lot about personnel. I've always believed it's about the players, not the plays so much. And when you run out of players, it's very difficult to scheme up anything. Okay, what are we going to do today with our third-string defensive tackle? You know, we're going to stunt them in the A-gap. We're going to play them two – I mean, it's just very hard. It's very, very difficult.
Yeah.
So, they just don't have the firepower now. I don't know. You can pull out Buddy Ryan and run the 46 zone. The old Chicago Bear defense, and they'd get gutted right now. So, there's just not a lot they can hang their hat on. They just got to try to fight through this period of time right now, hopefully get some guys back, hopefully find some guys that are young and can develop, or some maybe hit a home run on a practice squad guy, or pick somebody up off somebody else's practice squad and hit a homer somehow. Weather the storm till Jaden gets back, till Terry gets back, till Debo gets back, and they can put up the points and win some games, some high-scoring games.
I'm wondering if you've observed the following. The one thing that, for me, watching them, is I don't see like a defense that's dejected, that's thrown in the towel, that isn't trying to fly around and play with a level of urgency and competitiveness. And you do see that, you know, with some teams when, you know, one side of the ball or both sides of the ball just are terrible and they're going through the motions. I don't see that with the defense. Do you?
No, not at all. And I think that's why they still have a chance, because they do play hard. You know, the issue with them is if they give up an 8 to 10 or 12 play drive, they get tired and they lose that ability to play fast and physical. They get worn out instead of playing 100% feisty and all that stuff. Now, I'm tired. I'm breathing heavy. Now my pad level gets higher. And now we really get gutted. You know, so if they can stay fresh, the offense can keep them on the sideline with some good long drives of their own. And they can play fresh, and they can run around and do some stunts and TE stunts and slant in the A-gap and B-gap and let Bobby come into the A-gap and create havoc and run and play fast, then they have a chance. But when they get tired, they got no chance.
So you coach some teams here, and we've talked about them many times, that were terrible on defense. The 2015, the 2016 team in particular. I mean, you know, guys like David Bruton and Greg Toler are back there, and and it's a disaster. So do you ever get to the point where you're thinking drastically as a head coach, like, we just got to do something to be – we're sending 7 or 6 on every single, you know, run down, pass down, it doesn't matter. We're going to die going down swinging. Like, do you think that way, and is that actually plausible to put into play for a team that's so vulnerable?
Yeah, when the defensive coordinator calls an all-out blitz, something like that, I turn my head and go to the water cooler and wait for the crowd noise and go, boom!
That's funny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because you don't want to put your corners at that damn risk, and some of the receivers will get
right.
A go-get. It's scary. Then you play cover twos, and you play cover threes and cover fours and change the coverages up, and it's a gain of 5, a gain of 8, a gain of 12, and you're sitting there and your best players on offense are standing on the sideline looking at you like, when are we going to go back in? I just hold on, just wait till they score.
Yeah.
It's hard. It's a tough situation to be in. You're just hoping that somehow you get a tip ball interception or they get a holding call to take them out of some field position. But I think still Washington has enough talent on that team with Bobby Luvu and Marshawn and Kwan's got to play better and some of these guys and Duran. So and Newton, they just, you know, got to weather the storm and make some plays.
The D coordinator calls an all-out zero coverage blitz. Where's the head coach? He's back at the water cooler with his ears perked up, waiting to hear the crowd noise. That's pretty funny. You know, this guy that I have on, he's one of the all-time great punt returners in NCAA history. He calls Maryland games on the radio broadcast, and he's just excellent sort of breaking down the film. And he said to me the other day, he said, when it comes to Lattimore at this point, he may just want to really study hard and start guessing and start gambling and just try to make a play. If he's going to get torched, at least make one or two plays by guessing right once or twice. Would you advocate for that for a guy like Lattimore?
No. I think Lattimore feels more comfortable playing bump and run. You can see that. And unfortunately, people are taking advantage of that, and they're not afraid of him anymore, and they're throwing the ball up there because they know, A, he's going to be caught, or B, it's going to be a PI, you know, and they're not worried about him with his ball skills getting the picks. So he just got to play the ball better when he plays bump and run. The play at the end of the half was just an absolute killer. I mean, it was an absolute one of the worst plays I've seen in pro football in a long time in that situation to give up that
Because why? Because they were playing it incorrectly. They should have been playing
25 seconds ago in the half. It was 2nd and 17.
Yeah.
I mean, just play off and let it catch a hitch.
Exactly.
Let Aubrey kick a 68-yard field goal at the end of the half. That's fine. You
know, well, whose fault was that?
Well, you can still play bump and run. I would have clouded both sides. You know, I'm putting somebody over CD and somebody over Pickens in that situation. There's no way I'm going to let Dak Prescott throw just a fade ball down the left sideline one-on-one Pickens against Lattimore with the way Lattimore's been playing and the chance of a PI or something like that. There's just that, I think, you know, I try not to criticize coaches' calls. That one I did not like. You know, and if the coach is going to say, oh, you know what, Marshawn, I trust you. You're just not going to get beat deep. Don't get beat deep. I mean,
yeah,
play on this top shoulder. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Halftime, and then the next play, you know, because Washington had the ball coming out.
Yeah.
Right.
And yeah. Yeah.
They blow a blitz pick up, and Jaden gets hurt. They don't pick up the blitz, and Jaden gets hurt. And the next thing you know, Marcus comes in the pick six, and the game's over. So, I mean, the game was right there still for Washington. As ugly as it looked, it was 20-15 going into halftime with the ball. So, that play, that three play drive, I think, was really rough. And then Washington couldn't recover.
I'm glad you said that, because I said that after the game and then again on Monday and Tuesday that, you know, after that drive at the end of the first half that made it 20-15, you know, even down 27-15, they're on the move. 1st and 10, Jaden had completed that 3rd and 10 sort of off schedule to Moore. They're probably going to go in and score again, and I don't think they're going to stop Dallas enough to win the game, but it's at least a game. And we've seen, you know, rocky up and down first halves with Jaden and the offense going back to last year, where in the second half they come out and light it up. But with respect to that last Dallas drive, I just want everybody to be clear on what Jay's saying. You can't be in man coverage. You can't give a fade ball, even though it was perfectly thrown by Prescott. You can't give him that opportunity. You got to make him throw underneath and get, you know, 10 yards, 12 yards, and let Aubrey try a 65-yarder at the end of the half and be down 23-15 maybe, not 27-15. That was infuriating. All right, let's talk about the offense. You know, how much of what you watched Sunday was, you know, not enough bodies that are capable at wide receiver on the field?
Yeah, all of it, really. They're just not very talented, unfortunately, and it's very difficult. We said this before the season when Terry was holding out. If Terry holds out, that receiver room is very average, even with Debo. It's probably bottom third, maybe even lower than that as far as skill set on the at the receiver position and tight end position you can add and running back position you can add in. So the skill position without Terry goes down, you know, got to be bottom ranked 28th or 29th probably. Now with Terry and Debo out, now you're talking about who's going to win in man coverage. Who the hell are you going to look to if you're Jaden Daniels, okay? I mean, is it Zach Ertz, you know, the older tight end on a basic cross route getting open hopefully? Is it Chris Moore? Is it McCaffrey, who's it going to be? And right now they don't have that guy, and that's a big concern because as good as Jaden is, I don't even think he can put on a Superman cape and consistently make plays that need to be made to have a successful offense. Cliff's a great offensive coordinator, but right now they just don't have the Joes, you know, to make this thing work.
Did you see Jaden a little bit hesitant to pull the trigger a few times because perhaps he was not trusting of the wide receiver group, or was he just missing things and it was on him?
No, I saw one. He threw a we called a thunder out in the boundary, and I think it was Chris Moore. It might have been Chris Moore or
Lane,
the chosen one. He just went too deep. You know, Jaden was on quick game footwork, and the guy went, you know, two extra steps on his route, and the ball looked like it was an errant throw. But Jaden threw it on time. The receiver was just too deep, and then the one to Zach Ertz, he missed. You know, it was a sail cut, and Zach sat it down on his zone, and Jaden was anticipating him to take it out a little bit more, and he missed that one. And you know, it's another one on the sideline. But, you know, sometimes when you have these new receivers and you know, the timing's not there, Jaden's expecting a certain thing. And yeah, and if it's not there, it's very difficult for a rhythm-type quarterback. And now, if you're not sure the guy's going to be there in the right spot with the right footwork and the right timing, now you're going to be hesitant, and then you're going to be late, and then all of a sudden all hell breaks loose. You got to scramble for a three-yard gain. So they got to get together. You know, if these guys are going to play here the next few weeks, Chris Moore, he's got to get more detailed. The Robbie Chosen, he's got to get more detailed. I don't know how that's going to work, but yeah, somebody's got to step up and make some plays if Terry doesn't play.
I'll ask you the question that I asked callers earlier in the week. Is this season salvageable, meaning can they make the postseason or at least go to the final week of the season with a chance to make the postseason?
I think so. I think anytime that guy runs out of tunnels, your quarterback, you got a chance. So please, okay, after this week, probably take one on his chin against Kansas City. You know, battle, play hard, come back after Monday night and get Jaden back and get Debo back and get Terry back 100% and make a run offensively. And offensively, they got to really be precise and they got to take advantage of every drive that they have and really help the defense out. But I really do. I would never count out a team with Jaden Daniels as a starting quarterback.
All right. What is the formula for what would be a pretty shocking upset? We see it happen in the NFL all the time, but what would you be thinking we have to do with Mariota quarterback and a defense that's in tatters and you're facing a healthy Kansas City offense on Monday night at Arrowhead? Give me a somewhat plausible formula for pulling off the upset.
You know, I saw the Jacksonville Jaguars beat the Kansas City Chiefs, so it's not impossible for Washington to go in there and get a upset, really. You know, I know they got Rashee Rice back, and everybody's like, oh, my God, the whole weapons are back. You know, Jacksonville beat them, so they're not unbeatable, for God's sakes. I think you go in there and you play good, sound defense. You got to hustle and hit two hats on the ball every time, try to get some punch outs. These guys can be careless with the football. Hollywood Brown can be careless with the football. Pacheco can be careless with the football. We got to get the ball out and create some turnovers on defense. And offensively, you got to play a physical brand of football. You got to match their physicality up front. It's going to be difficult, but got to try to possess the football, be very, very good on, have the best third down plan of the year, make sure we possess the football, keep our defense fresh, and obviously convert in the red zone if given the opportunity.
Last time Washington played at Arrowhead, it was a Monday night game in 2017, and that was one hell of a football game. And Doxson had the ball in his hands in the end zone for the lead with under a minute to go. I think you've told me before about that play that Kirk should have gone to Jordan Reed.
Oh, it's wide open. It was a sluggo seam type of route. We had a hitch and go by Jordan Reed on one side against the safety, and if it was man-to-man and the safety stayed in the middle, we were going to work Jordan Reed one-on-one to the field, and Jordan Reed just diced them up. I mean, hook, line, and sinker wide open. And Kirk went right to the seam ball, which is Doxson, which, you know, he threw a great ball. And Josh went up for the catch and just couldn't hold on to it. But I would have loved to see him throw the ball to Jordan there. But, you know, he threw a good ball. But I wish he would have thrown it to Jordan.
Yeah. Jay Gruden from the other day talking about the team currently and what would have to happen tonight to pull off the unthinkable. When we come back, Max and I will give you our final score predictions with a footnote. If you want to give you, if you want to give us yours, 301-230-0980. Also, something that Marcus Mariota said about playing at Arrowhead when we come back. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980 and the Team980.com.
All right, happy Monday, everybody. Here is what is happening. We start off with a look around the NFC East. Dallas, they fall to the Broncos in a game that got so out of hand. Joe Milton threw a touchdown pass. Cowboys lose 44-24. And the Eagles, they beat up on the Giants 38-20 to make matters worse for Brian Daboll's squad. They also lose rookie running back Cam Scatabu for the season with a gruesome-looking dislocated ankle injury. Plus, we got some big news out of the college football world as it broke late last night that LSU is parting ways with head coach Brian Kelly after suffering a lopsided defeat to Texas A&M, where LSU looked checked out for most of the second half. Now the third major program to begin their head coaching search in October. Plus, the Caps, they announced this morning they are signing Brett Leeson to a one-year, two-way contract. He'll be placed on waivers and loaned to Hershey for the time being. Plus, the Wizards, they fall to the Hornets 139-113. LaMelo Ball stunned with nearly 40 points and a triple-double performance that included 13 rebounds and 13 assists on the Wizards' side. CJ McCollum leads the Wizards in scoring but with 24, but the lack of defense helps spur the Hornets to a 26-point victory. The Washington Commanders, they get going tonight versus the Kansas City Chiefs on Monday Night Football. Terry McLaurin and Deebo Samuel making their return to the lineup, but the Burgundy and Gold will be without starting quarterback Jaden Daniels and maybe without Daron Payne, who missed most of this week with a toe injury. Burgundy and Gold pregame live with Denton and Linnell begins at 106.7 The Fan after Grant and Danny at 6:30. And Maryland basketball gets underway right here on the Team 980 in an exhibition against UMBC. That will also get underway at 6:30. This update is sponsored by the Team 980 YouTube page. Just open the app, type in the Team 980, hit subscribe. Kevin Sheehan is live every day from 10 to 1. You can catch Denton's office throughout all football season. Don't forget to hit the like button whenever you do decide to join us and turn on notifications to stay up to date on all things DC sports. And that is what's trending.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I don't know if you've heard, but Mint's premium wireless is $15 a month. But I'd like to offer one other perk. We have no stores. That means no small talk. Crazy weather we're having. No, it's not. It's just weather. It is an introvert's dream. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Once upon an office so dreary, Wendy's HR presentation made everyone weary.
Was it a bore?
A snore. Could have used more charm, for sure.
That's it?
Wendy opened Canva, looking ecstatic. She began to work her magic.
Docs, prints, presentations galore. All in one design. Not dull anymore.
The next day, Wendy wowed the crowd. They clapped loud.
I feel so proud.
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at Canva.com.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
I love playing there. It's such a fun atmosphere. The fans are great. It's loud. And I truly enjoy it. And at the end of the day, like, it's going to come down to us being able to communicate. It is a tough environment. But at the same time, like, that's what you play for. You love these moments. You love these atmospheres. And I'm really looking forward to it.
Marcus Mariota the other day talking about what it's like to play at Arrowhead. He's had two career starts at Arrowhead. I mentioned this earlier in the show. He's 2-0. The second one came in a playoff comeback, down 21-3 at halftime. They came back and beat the Chiefs in 2017, January of 2018, 22-21. He was also asked about what has contributed to his past success playing at Arrowhead Stadium. Here's what he said.
And Marcus, just a quick piggyback off of that. You've had some success playing at Arrowhead. What's allowed for you to be successful there, and what do you love about it?
First and foremost, I just love the atmosphere. It reminds me a lot of college. I love playing on the road. I think kind of that us versus everybody mentality is something that I really feel like I've thrived on in my career. But I just, again, I love playing at Arrowhead. I actually have family there, so I do get to see some family. And at the end of the day, when it comes down to it, it is a tough place to play. But as long as you get everybody going on the same page and you're communicating, you know, it allows you to be able to execute and do what you need to do.
There you go. Prediction time. What happens tonight? Let me just mention that the Chiefs right now are 1-6 in their last seven games when they're laying 7 points. Or more. Not outright. They're 7-0 outright. They're 1-6 against the number. And if you've been betting the NFL this year, you know that big favorites have struggled this year. Teams favored by at least 7 points are 1-5 against the number this year, and 3-3 outright in prime time games this year. Chiefs are 10.5, 11 point favorites in this one. I've got Washington hanging in there, covering the game, going under the total. Right now the total in this game is 48. The Chiefs winning by the same score they won in the first time they ever met Washington. Final score 27-20. The Chiefs win. Marcus Mariota has 60 yards rushing in this game. That's my footnote. But a loss, 27-20. They cover. The game goes under. Marcus Mariota has a good rushing game and plays well enough to keep them kind of in it, you know, at various points during tonight's game. Max, go ahead.
I think it's going to be a little bit more high scoring than you do. I think it's going to be, and I think that Washington is going to just barely cover that number. So give me Chiefs 34, Commanders 24. It's going to be a tight one.
Right.
They're going to score late.
We have them both covering.
That we do.
We got them both plus the points. Paulie wants to weigh in because he had a bad phone earlier, just decided to ditch us. You got 30 seconds. Go.
Yeah, I know why Mariota had success in Kansas City. They didn't have Pat Mahomes.
Yeah, well, that's true. Yeah.
Hey, man, come on. I'm going to be a homer here. I got us 34-33, man. We got to punch these dudes in the mouth, and we need some big plays. So with Debo and Terry back, man, we got to be aggressive on offense and defense. We're going to have to give it up. We're going to have to get it right back. 34-33, man. Let's go. Hail to the W. All right.
Talk to everybody tomorrow. Chris Russell next.
Once upon an office so dreary, Wendy's HR presentation made everyone weary.
Was it a bore?
A snore. Could have used more charm, for sure.
That's it?
Wendy opened Canva, looking ecstatic. She began to work her magic.
Docs, prints, presentations galore. All in one design. Not dull anymore.
The next day, Wendy wowed the crowd. They clapped loud.
I feel so proud.
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at Canva.com.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speedtest. So baseball fans are connected to the Fall Classic from home to home plate with the most advanced 5G, more towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever before. T-Mobile has you covered. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Best mobile network based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence data, first half 2025. See details at T-Mobile.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.